In this year of celebrations marking Mozart's 250th birthday, we take a few moments to remember the great composer's poet. Lorenzo da Ponte wrote the librettos for three of Mozart's operas, The Marriage of Figaro, Don Giovanni, and Così fan tutte. And Lorenzo da Ponte's life played out like a character in the opera buffa of his day. Born into the Jewish ghetto of Venice, he converted to Christianity as a youth, entered the priesthood, and then matched his friend, Casanova, in a string of seductions scandalous even by the standards of a thoroughly decadent Venice. Sent into exile, da Ponte landed in Vienna at the court of Emperor Joseph II. Rodney Bolt is author of a new biography, and he says Lorenzo da Ponte's timing could not have been better.
Da Ponte comes into the society, and Joseph II had just created an Italian opera company. Now, this would have been the center of Europe, and in that sense, the center of the world as far as opera went. The company that he creates is the most prestigious possible and would have been one of the best paid. And da Ponte gets the role of theatre poet without ever having written a single opera in his life, not even a play.
And how did he manage that?
He seems all the way through his life to have had the most extraordinary charm. He seems just to have marvellously talked his way into it. In a sense, both he and Mozart were among the very first freelancers, we'd call them today, because before this time, people had depended on patrons, artists, poets, musicians. And these young men didn't want to do that. They had enlightened new ideas and wanted independence, dignity, some sort of freedom.
There is a letter that you've included here, Mozart writing to his own father about his hopes that da Ponte would write him, Mozart, a libretto.
We forget at this distance that at that moment, da Ponte was the famous one. He was the theatre poet. So da Ponte was Mozart's channel to success. The new theatre poet, he wrote to his father, had promised to write him a libretto. But in addition to the fact that da Ponte was so busy, says Mozart, who knows whether he will keep his word, or even wants to, and I would love to show here what I can really do with Italian opera.
Well, clearly Mozart did succeed in getting da Ponte to write a libretto for him, and that was The Marriage of Figaro.
It had a mild success in Vienna, but then in Prague, who always loved Mozart better than the Viennese did, it was a huge success. Mozart wrote back after visiting Prague to see the first production of Figaro there. Nothing is played, sung, or whistled but Figaro. No opera is drawing like Figaro. Nothing but Figaro everywhere he went.
Now, we know about Mozart as a composer. What made da Ponte such a great librettist?
I think we can see it in one of the arias he wrote for Mozart. It's a very popular one, the catalogue song from Don Giovanni. As with many of his libretti, he based it on an opera or a text that already existed, and this was by Bertati. And if you look at the Bertati original, you can see just what da Ponte does to make this libretto really come to life. The song is Don Giovanni's servant giving a list of the women that his master has seduced. And in the Bertati version, it is simply that. He says his master has seduced over 100, 180. And more than that, he doesn't know. Ve ne sono non so quanta. Very pedestrian, plodding rhymes, the sort of rhymes that Mozart complained about when dealing with Italian libretti. Da Ponte takes this, and firstly, he begins much more intimately. He makes Don Giovanni's servant Leporello draw the woman towards him and say, Madamina, milady, come on, have a look at this with me.
Madamina, il catalogo è questo, delle belle che amò il padron mio.
And then da Ponte changes each of those numbers to an exact number. In Italy, 640, say 140. In Germany, 231, 231. And in Spain, 1,003, 1,003. He had something with the words that knew what Mozart would like to do with him. And when you listen to the opera, you can hear Mozart picking up on 1,003, repeating it, 1,003. And the music almost comes out of the words in themselves.
Mille tre, mille tre,
In opera, the librettist is often quite invisible. How important was the librettist in De Ponte's time?
By the time De Ponte came along, opera had changed from opera seria to comic opera, and the composer was beginning to gain predominance. And Mozart writes in a letter to his father that the librettist had to serve the composer. The poetry was a handmaiden to the music. De Ponte, of course, violently objected to that and said that if the poet was irrelevant, then the composer might as well set a bookseller's catalogue to music, which I suppose was the 18th century equivalent of saying he might as well set a telephone directory to music.
Did De Ponte complain in his time about how he was not as prominent as he should have been in terms of being credited with the work?
Very much so. In later life, he was very unhappy with the fact that Mozart, who was by now famous, was mentioned only as the author of the three operas that they had worked together on. We do still do it today. In the world of the musical, we'll talk about Rodgers and Hammerstein or Lerner and Lowe, but in the world of opera, we focus entirely on the composer. And people, even when they're writing about Mozart, even music critics writing about Mozart, will talk about Mozart's characterization, not when they're talking about the music, but when they're talking about what characters say to each other or how dramatic scenes are set up. That's not Mozart at all. That's De Ponte.
Rodney Bolt, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Rodney Bolt is the author of The Librettist of Venice, The Remarkable Life of Lorenzo De Ponte. You can read an excerpt at npr.org. Thank you.